Please remain standing as we sing from read from Psalms 121 and 122. I will lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from Jehovah, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches you over
you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over you, Israel, will
neither slumber nor sleep.
Jehovah watches over you. Jehovah is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Jehovah will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. Jehovah will watch over your coming and your going both now and forevermore. I rejoice with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of Jehovah." Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built up like a city. It is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of Jehovah, to praise the name of Jehovah according to the statute given to Israel. There the thrones for judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of Jehovah our God, I will seek your prosperity.
You may be seated.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these precious words that were given long ago by the psalmist.
May we think about them, meditate upon them. May they be clear as they are explained to ourselves in these truths, that we might look to you, Jehovah, who guards and keeps us from falling. We thank you for your mercy that we have in Christ Jesus. We pray in his blessed name. Amen. I do not know how many of you like history. Many of you had bad experiences in high school where you had to learn U.S. history, which can be fascinating, but you learned a lot of dates, and that's all you learn. And the teacher might have been boring, but you may have had a good teacher. And history is fascinating. I majored in history because I loved it so much because I had a good teacher in college. So I'm going to give you a little history lesson this morning that helps us to understand this text. Several years ago, former members, the Watsons and Kathy and I, were able to go to England, something I said I'd never do. But I was so happy. To two places I went that we were very excited about. The first place was at Westminster Abbey, that great abbey where the kings and queens are crowned. But there's a little chamber right next door to it. It's called the Jerusalem Chamber. And you know what happened in that chamber? The Westminster Confession of Faith and larger and shorter catechisms were put together. We were able to get in. I think Rob bribed the man to get in. We actually got in this little chamber where these divines, many years ago in the 1600s, were able to give us this wonderful, maybe imperfect, statement of a faith which we as Presbyterians hold to very dearly. But as a secondary standard. But the other place we were able to go to was Bedford. Now, I don't know if anybody has the name of Bedford, but in Bedford there was a famous man. Famous man was John Bunyan. We got to see his church, and I think we saw his statue, and I'm not sure we saw the jail. But, you know, he was persecuted because he did not go along with the Church of England, which was not completely reformed yet. That's why we had the Puritans that tried to purify the church. And so he was put in jail once for 12 years. 12 years. Oh, joy that seeketh me through pain, we sing. How did this man dwell? Well, God used those 12 years to write a very famous book that every family should have. There is a children's edition now of Pilgrim's Progress. And it's about the Christian life, how Pilgrim got out of the city of destruction, got through the gate by evangelist, and had many adventures, And he came to a place called Hill Difficulty. Hill Difficulty. And there were two other men next to him that said they wanted to go over the hill as well. But they said, no, it's too hard. One sign said, if you go around the hill, that's danger. And if you go the other side, that's destruction. They decided to go that way, and they were lost. But Christian decided to go over the hill. Has nothing to do with age, by the way. We all have hills of difficulty. Go to the parking lot and look at San Bruno Mountains. Suppose the only way you can get to San Francisco was to go over those mountains. That would be difficulty. But if you went the other two other ways, it would be danger or destruction. Well, our text talks about a hill.
Or hills.
And there are hills of difficulty. And we read here, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? How am I going to make it over those hills? This was a psalm of going up ascent to Jerusalem, as the tribes that we read in Psalm 122, at least three times a year for the men. And so they make this travel. It was 70 miles from Nazareth, I believe, to Jerusalem. And there were hills on the south of Jerusalem as well. And it was very difficult to get up those hills. And I think it sits with this idea that John Bunyan was talking about, the hill of difficulty. Now, these are physical issues, but there's spiritual realities behind the psalm. We are sometimes accused of spiritualizing everything, but there is the spiritual reality of what it means to go up these hills. He says, where does my help come from? How am I going to get over those hills? Okay, try to go over San Bruno House. He'll see how far you get. I know the Madrigals live near there. I don't think they've ever gone over the hill to the top. But that's quite a trip. I think they're going to Sine Hill, and that's difficult enough. But just think of these hills. And he says, he answers his own question under the Spirit of God. He said, my help, my aid comes from Jehovah, who is the Eternal One, the maker of heaven and earth. Since he is able to make those hills and he made me, I should not be discouraged. I can get over that hill. I think of the Grassos right now. They have gone over many hills this last 2 weeks, and they won't be able to come home till tomorrow. This hill of difficulty. How many hills have you gone over to hills of difficulty? Whether it be financial, emotional, discouragement, job problems, spiritual difficulties with the evil one. But this is a hill because in order to get to the celestial city, where John Berry talks, which is heaven, we've got to go over some hills. Jesus made that very clear in the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, that you're going to have persecution. You're going to have difficulties. It is hard. But as we've been studying in our adult class, Sunday school class, that we can't worry or be discontented. We have to learn contentment. We have to stop worrying and trust the Lord, because our help is in Jehovah who made heaven and earth. Now, what is the promises he gives here? It's interesting. The Hebrew word is used six times. They use the word here, watches. Some use preserve, and some use keep. I like this, the Hebrew word to mean, which I studied. In fact, it's one of the first words I learned in Hebrew.
Saker. No, not saker. Shamer. And now you remember that word completely the rest of your life. Shamer. And he uses that word to guard us.
He's with us and keeps us. Now, the image he has here is like those guards or night watchmen on the walls of a city. To watch out, any enemies are going to come. Now, if they fall asleep, as we talk about,
they can be executed the next day.
But these hills
are steep. And he watches over you. He will not let your foot slip. They were slippery as the hills.
And that was the problem of climbing up the hill difficulty for a pilgrim. He started to slip,
but he finally got to the top. And that's where we're going to go. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over you, neither will slumber or sleep. He who guards you,
who keeps guard and watches over you, does not let his eye go away from you. He's not going to sleep, nor slumber or doze off.
Now you might
say, well, didn't Jesus sleep in the boat? I thought he was God. Yes, he's God, but he was also man. His humanity, he shows his humanity, he did sleep. But now he's in heaven making intercession for us. He doesn't sleep anymore in the boat, so to speak. He's every day making intercession for you and for me. So he's watching over us. He's guarding us. He knows what we're going on and what's going on in our lives. So we can trust him and be careful to trust him more. Jehovah watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
Have you ever had a little person come to you and say, oh, my shadow is following me? You've had that experience. Parents know that mean. When they want to be alone, the little shadow sneaks in the room, and so to speak. Well, the shadow is a sign of presence. And God's shadow, so to speak, is on God's right hand. Why the right hand? Most people are right-handed. Nothing against or prejudice against left-handed people. But that's the average people. And so God is watching all your activities of your right hand. He's concerned how your right hand uses what activities you're going to do. So he's guarding you in that sense. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night.
Now we read in Kings about
the boy that got sunstroke, and he was raised up from death. Now, the sun can be very harmful to you. You can get cancer or get a sunstroke. Well, this is just an illustration that any kind of thing that may harm you will not harm you. I will keep you from that. And then the other was about the moon. Now, how does the moon hurt you? Well, you heard of lunatics? Loon means a moon. And it is a common understanding that at the full moon, many people, because of the pressure or the gravity of the moon, causes people to think kind of strange. I don't know if that's true or not. But again, whether this is true in this situation is not even the moon or that possibility will harm you in your getting into going to the holy city, which is the celestial city. And that's where you're going. So going up to Jerusalem, as the pilgrims are doing three times a year, you will be protected. But the idea is that your spiritual life will be protected from any harm. Jehovah will keep you from all harm, all kinds of harm, not just one harm, but all kinds. He who watches over your life in all ways. Going back to when he watches over Israel, if he watches over Israel because it's his chosen special people, Israel is the church of Christ. You are the new Israel, according to Galatians 6. You are a new people. You are the continuing of Israel, but the new branch that has been brought in. Since he's going to keep his church, Jesus says, the gates of hell shall never go against the church. So you have that confidence, no matter where you are. He watches over you. The Lord, Jehovah, watch over your coming, and you both now and forevermore.
When you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have a good shepherd that I mentioned last week.
You not need for lack of anything. He will guide you in the paths of righteousness. He will give you the food and the pasture. He will watch over you when you're in his house, because he has given his life and taken your sins upon his body, and he has this great divine responsibility over your life. Now we come to Psalm 122, which I think is really fits together with Psalm 121.
I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of Jehovah. That's a wonderful thing. Here our pastor and his family have gotten through the hill. And I'm sure they're going to church in Georgia right now, in Atlanta. They're able to go into the house of Jehovah. They made it over the hill. And at the top of the hill is the house beautiful in the Pilgrim's Progress. That's where
the people of God meet to worship God. So you better get the book of Pilgrim's Progress and know all the story behind this, because I can't do it.
I have a temptation to give you everything all, but I'm not going to do that.
I hope I can get through this text and make sure that you understand that truth. Let us go to the house
of Jehovah. Our founding pastor, Mr. Ed Elliott, who was our pastor in First Church for many years and was killed in a crash coming home from General Assembly. He was a pastor of our church in Garden Grove for many years. Helped found this church. How'd he do it? That back in the 50s, when you could knock on the door and people would open the door. You can't do that anymore. But he did that profusely, and many of our new members of this church, founding members, came through his calling on them. And he would ask them, will you come to the church Sunday? He didn't give them the gospel. He just said, will you come? And if they said yes, then if they came, fine, they got the gospel. And if they didn't come, he went back. He said, you said you were going to come. That's pretty bold, isn't it? Have you asked people, your relatives, your friends, your acquaintances, won't you come to the house of Jehovah? Come and worship God. That's a simple witness. Because here you were, that doesn't mean you can't give them the gospel, but that's that almost any of us can do. At least invite people to the worship of God. And that's what he did, and God prospered in that ministry. And that's what happened also for the Garden Grove Church. God gave him grace to build that church. And you and I should also be happy when we say, oh, the Lord's Day's coming. We're going to go to the house beautiful. We're going to go to the church where the people of God are. Now, if the psalmist enjoyed it, why shouldn't you? And another thing, people say, well, I don't need to go to church. Well, then you're better than Jesus. Because what did he do on every Sabbath? As it was his custom, the word custom means more than custom. It means as his habit, as the law of God, he went to the synagogue. And if you stay home because you think you are better than Jesus, you ought to follow Jesus who gave his life for you. You want to be in his presence. So it should be a joyful thing for somebody to say to you, let us go into the house of Jehovah. Our feet are standing at your gates. We're anxious to get in. And they couldn't go into the Holy of Holies, but at least to the courtyard where there was singing and praising of God. Then he goes on to call Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a holy city. Not so much today. Not so much today. In fact, we're looking for what? The new Jerusalem. There are some Christians that are looking that one day Christ is going to come and reign in the physical Jerusalem. I personally cannot believe that's scriptural. We have a better Jerusalem than the physical Jerusalem. We have a new Jerusalem, and we are Jerusalem as well as we are the house of God. And it's built like a city, compacted together. We are a city of God. We are the kingdom of God. And there's where the tribes go up. Well, the tribes not only of Israel at that time, the tribes of the earth are coming into the church. The church Catholic or the church universal, which we come into the house of beauty. That's why we go out to call people, let us go into the house of Jehovah. So we go to all parts of the world. The sacrifice of our missionaries is wonderful, and we should pray for them. But we have mission work here too, so let's keep it all together. And to the praise of the name of Jehovah according to the statute to Israel. This is where we praise God. Sure, we can praise as a family, as individuals. But God has called us together. Do not forsake the assembling of some assembly together as some have done, as in the book of Hebrews. Don't forsake this wonderful time. Sometimes you just don't feel like it. As a preacher for 50 years in this church, there were mornings that I don't want to go. I don't feel like it. But I had to forget my feelings and come because I had a responsibility. And once I got there, the bad feelings went away, and singing the hymns and preaching the word encouraged my heart, and hearing you singing the hymns as a mutual encouragement. That's why we come together, not only to praise God, but to be mutually encouraged. Because we live in a difficult world, a very hard world, and we need encouragement. And there are a lot of hills that are difficult, and we need to help each other and be friends and brothers and sisters to one another. There the thrones of judgment stand. There the thrones of the house of God. In that time, that's where David was. He was the king. But now, Jerusalem, the church, is the kingdom of God. And who's the king?
our Lord Jesus Christ. He earned that kingdom by giving himself on the cross to take away our sins so that we can come into his presence and so we can rejoice. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May those there be peace within your walls. We cannot have peace in Jerusalem as Christians, I mean in the house of God, unless we have peace with God. That peace of God which passes all understanding. We were once enemies of God, but Christ came to reconcile us to the Father and give us the peace. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. And I think it was the passage that was read this morning. I have said this to you that you may have peace in me. In the world you have affliction, but have courage. I have conquered the world.
I've conquered the world for you. So you can pray for that peace. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say peace be within you. For the sake of the house of Jehovah, our God, I will seek your prosperity. Do you seek the prosperity of this congregation? And not only our congregation, but the church universal? Do you pray for the peace of Christ's church? There are many divisions and many difficulties because people are not following Christ as they should. We've come here to follow Christ and to extol his name, to exalt his name, to worship him, and to grow in Christ. And as we come to be nourished by the Lord's Supper, we can go out from this place knowing that God is with us and we can go with strength. My help is in Jehovah who made heaven and earth. Is your help in Jehovah
who made heaven and earth?
Let us pray.
Our Father and our God, we thank you for the help that you give to us in your word and your spirit.
For these words of the psalmist, that
we can rejoice in coming into your presence.
Here we find that we can pray together, we can sing together, and we hear your word together. And we can worship with a whole heart. Help us, O Lord, to trust you in all these matters. Forgive us when we doze off ourselves, but help us be awake as Jesus is awake for us, who is making intercession for us now as our mediator. Help us, O Lord. If there are those who do not know you this morning, may they come to the real help, the real one of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in him and trust in him, who is able to take the burden of sin away from our hearts. We ask all of this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.